Tim Dillon is going to hell.
We're going to really take a hard, critical look at the people that society's decided to hate. The billionaires, the dictators, the CEOs.
On Gas Digital Network.
We know that there are bad things in the world. There are bad people. And thank God for them.
Won't you join him?
What's good without evil? What a week. What an episode. Last week, everybody. The CIA has tried to kill me and Ray twice.
I've been getting calls from
people. Can you shut that music off, Shannon, please? What's happening? What's going on? It's the CIA again.
Jesus. This is
They're trying to... What song is this?
Jesus.
This is... It's actually getting better.
Yeah, why don't we...
Yeah, why don't we use that part? What was that? What song is that?
It's the same song. It's just later.
I know it's the same song. I'm just saying. Again, the CIA trying to drown us out.
Is Shannon an asset?
Yes. Shannon knows what she's doing.
Flipped.
I'm wearing my Comedy Works sweatshirt. Yeah. If you're watching live, if you're not watching live, subscribe.
What are you trying
pigs.
To get? You trying to get like. Cast on the Roseanne remake?
Was Roseanne... Where was Roseanne?
Lansing, Michigan. Well, no, it was something Michigan. It was like...
Might have been Lansing. I was
Lanford
just in
or
Lansing.
Something.
Comedy Works, of course. Denver, amazing. Great club. I just got back from Zany's, Chicago. Had a lot of fun. Real drunk city.
Yeah, I mean, you need something to soak up that that greasy pizza.
Yeah, I mean, that their cuisine is deep dish... Pizza. It's just like a garbage can full of cheese.
Just like a fucking giant cock that you spread out to a larger diameter and filled with cheese.
It was so gross. I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's not bad because it's just bread and cheese, but it's really... It's
you like sent me a picture. It looked like one of those like puddings they have in Game of Thrones. It's like pigeon pies.
Yeah, it kind of is like that. But people there argue about it. Like, they're like, no, you got to go to... Little Malnati's, you gotta go to Pequod's. It's your diet. It's like.
They live on an ice river.
Yeah, it's like this
These
is.
People are not.
Yeah. This is not cuisine to be like argued about. This
I love
is
how,
like
they pretend like they were like, oh, yeah, we're the second city. You like maybe the eighth city.
You're not the second city. Their whole. All their opinions on this food, it's like. Dude, this is a novelty food. It's like a corn dog.
Yeah.
You know? This is a candy apple.
No, but it's dipped in American cheese and then covered with turkey bacon bits.
You gotta go to Lou's. I mean, it's like, and let me tell you right now, I'm a fat guy, and you eat this, you've never felt worse in your life.
Yeah, it's just like instant gas that feels like a heart
instant,
attack.
Instant, dude. Instant gas. Everybody, I took the host out to eat. Everybody in the green room just letting them go.
Yeah.
To the point where nobody's even embarrassed anymore. Just farting.
People are animals.
Yeah, just lit me and this host, cute girl from L.A., very funny, this girl Hannah.
Yeah.
Very funny, very cool. She's just farting, sitting there farting. And I always fart. I don't care.
Right, you're disgusting.
But to see a girl like that just let it rip and go, what am I going to do? She made herself throw up. She went in the bathroom and made herself...
She went and purged?
She went and purged before the show. She was that sick. First of all, we go to this place, Pequod's, which is supposedly the king. And it, listen,
the king of what? Pizza?
The king of deep dish.
Pequod's?
Yeah, Pequod's. So we go, and let me tell you right now, all of this shit, you've had Pizza Hut.
I've had pizza. Yeah, we've had Pizza
yeah,
Hut.
It's just Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
This is just...
Just oily crust. And-
oily... Cross, like, my friend tells me about Pequod's, like, you know, Pequod's, they got something special. I'm like, what? He's like, they have caramelized cheese around the crust. It's blackened caramelized cheese. I'm like, yeah, it's burnt. It's just a burnt pie. And he's like, yeah, that's their signature. I'm like, yeah, okay, they burn every pie. That's, I'm fine, but that's what it is. It's not caramelized cheese, you more. And
I think I saw that in Wiley Dufresne's book.
Yeah.
Molecular Gastronomy and Caramelized Cheese.
Yeah, that guy, fucking WD-50. That was a great restaurant, but it's like one of those restaurants where you're like, all right, so you made cucumber into an ice cream. Why? It's like one of those things where you're eating it and you're like, they're like, we've made a teeny tiny little bagel. You're like, okay, I guess, but...
It's bacon air.
Right. We'll spray this bacon in your mouth. It's $90. $90. What if tomato was a gas? What if a tomato was a gas? And you eat this shit and you're like, okay, tomato jelly, cool, but like, I don't need to have it again, but it's fun. WD was a fun restaurant, WD-50. He had a peanut butter pasta that was kind of cool. But like, so we go to Pequod's and I sit down with this girl and we're sitting there. And number one, I have done, and Zanny's great club, had a lot of fun. The staff was awesome. But I had done the Wednesday night show, the Thursday night show, two shows Friday. I did a rehab show Friday during the day, which was rough. Usually rehab crowds are pretty good. And this crowd was okay. They were fine. But they were like, usually you want somebody to be sober for a few months.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean?
I see where this is going.
You want them to be like, at least, you know, like.
They had some girl there who still had bruises from her pimp.
Right, they were scratching. They were scratching in the front row. Like, scratching. You know what I mean? And I'm up there talking about frozen yogurt or whatever the fuck I talk about. And these people are digging into their skin hard. You know, their eyes are rolling around. They're like, yeah. You know, they got the fucking restless leg syndrome. And I'm like, ask them, how long have you been sober? A week.
Jesus.
And I'm like, oh, this is not what you should
do
be doing.
Do we even count a week? Like, yeah. when do you start counting? I thought 28 days was a detox.
Well, they're right. So they're still in a stage of detox. The other thing was, this show was at 12 noon. So it was 12 noon. So the guy picks me up. You know, this is the only job. It's like one of the only jobs. Maybe not the only job, but this really is one of the only jobs where, like, a stranger just picks you up and you get in his car and you drive with him 3 hours to Jeez. Do a gig. So he picks me up in Chicago because my agent goes, we got a rehab gig for you while you're in Chicago. I said, great, fine. So this guy comes, good dude, nice guy, picks me up. We go 3 hours to Chicago. My voice is starting to go, so I don't say anything.
Right.
So that's weird because I'm like, I get in the car, I go, buddy, I can't really talk. I can't say anything because I got Zany's has three shows Saturday, 7, 9, 11, 15. I'm like, I can't risk.
You got to start drinking tea and honey.
So I'm drinking tea and honey, but I'm not saying anything. And then like every now and then he would talk and I would kind of nod and then it would just be silent. And then we get to the rehab and, you know, we're there and I'm looking at the people file in and I'm like, oh, these people are suffering. This is like, these people are.
Yeah. Like,
I get it.
They have, like, scabs on their arms and shit. Like,
they're, like, they are scratching. They are, like, I mean, so a lot of them have the fidget spinners now.
That, can junkies at least be cool still? Like, I'm not saying, like, you want to look up to a junkie, but at least they have a certain disgust and dignity to being a dope fiend.
I agree, and now
they have to, like, be commercialized and, like, here, have a fidget spinner.
Well, they got to do something with their hand.
So, I mean, what happened, like, just grabbing your cock and start cranking for a minute?
That's also not allowed. What? That's also probably distracting during my show.
Fair enough.
But they're sitting in the back, and they're spinning these fidget spinners and scratching themselves. And it's like, I literally said in the middle of my set, I'm like, is this a good idea? Like, are we all on board with, like, this? And they're like, yeah, and they start clapping. And I'm like, oh, I feel bad.
What percentage of that audience? How many people were there about?
30, 35.
At that 35, let's say.
Yeah.
How many of them do you think have relapsed already?
34. And a half, yeah. You know? I mean...
You couldn't have been doing them any favors.
Well, here's the deal. Seeing me get on a stage and go, this is what it can be if you're sober. This is what life can be like if you're sober, you know?
Just imagine.
You ever think of gaining 100 pounds and start sucking cock?
Just imagine, like, when you're on a like horse, your whole life is just this, like... constant struggle to get it, but when you're high, it's like this euphoria, and you're just like you're in the clouds, and someone rips you out of the clouds and sits you in front of you,
yeah,
fucking screaming right. About ice cream,
yeah.
And fucking Metro cards. I forget where you're at this, but
like, I don't have anything on Metro cards. It's like you really haven't seen me in a long time. You're screaming about ice cream and starfish or whatever you're fucking doing up there. But Metro cards and ice cream. I know what you're doing. I know your tricks. But it's true. Listen, it's true. You'd much rather a hot guy get up there, girl, whoever, and be like, hey, start talking about how much how hard it is to date because everyone wants to fuck them.
Whatever.
This is what's happening, you know?
Give him a singer. Have someone sing Oh Danny
it's
Boy.
It's a great boy.
What do they need fucking comedy for?
You think that would have been a better idea if they're like, everyone please meet in the rec room. We have the Irish tenors to sing Oh Danny Boy.
So much more soothing.
Oh Danny Boy. The pipes are calling from Glen to I would love if you sang Oh Danny Boy. Oh Danny Boy. The pipes are calling. But so I'm there and I'm doing fine. And so I start to make fun of the posters on the walls because they're ridiculous. You know, they start saying ridiculous things.
This is a rehab place.
It's a rehab place. Okay. But it's like out. What's weird about it, it's not inpatient. They don't live there. They're actually, it's like intensive outpatient. They're all living in sober houses.
Oh.
So they're all under lock and key.
I thought like you go to a sober house after rehab.
Well, here's the thing. Apparently not. They're in like, maybe they're in a hotel. I don't know. They're in a place. They're not going, but this isn't the place that they're in.
Right.
They bust them here for the show. So again, for me, they got up early and got in a car to see me. And some of them are like confused. I'm confused.
The night before, the fucking one guy's trying to like fucking snort Ajax. Right. He goes, hey, if you don't behave, we're not going to take you to see Tim Dillon.
You want to relapse now and miss Tim Dillon? Do you want to relapse and miss Tim Dillon's show? He's going to do a half hour. I got there, and it's after the shows. You do it. It's fine. They end up, you know, they're left. They're trying. I get how hard it is because I've been a fucking addict. But not on those things. Like I have to really stop and remind myself. I don't know what it's like to detox from an opiate or heroin. That's a real different game.
Yeah, I mean, the heroin, they say, but they, you know, alcohol is actually more dangerous, but whatever.
Yeah, but if you're really drinking, you got to be really drinking.
Yeah, committed, you know.
Right.
An achiever.
Right. You can't be a weekend warrior. We're talking real. So then the show ends, and then they get weirdly, too nice. They're, like, taking photos. I'm like, oh, this is nice. And they're like, can you sign an autograph? I'm like, listen, I know this is going to shock you, but I'm not really going anywhere. I gotta be honest.
Hello, you gotta understand. This is Tim Dillon's autograph. I got him in rehab. Put the baby down, sir.
Yeah. I'm like, right. They're trying to trade it to some dealer.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Give us Tim Dillon's autograph. I said to the guy, I said, I'm like 15 years out from anything, from any recognition. So. Like you'll be either sober with a family and not care, or relapsed and dead by the time.
You couldn't have given them that little bit of glimmer of hope.
Of course I did. I signed the fucking. So my friend made a good point. My friend goes, and you'll appreciate this better than anyone. My friend goes, you ever try to get like sincere at the end of that? And Ray knows like what happens when I try to get sincere, and it's the worst. Like nothing is worse.
It's nothing more gross than nothing trying to fucking
is worse and less convincing. So like my friend's like, do you ever like. Talk to him, try to give him a pep talk at the end of that rehab gig. I'm like, I don't know what I would say, you know?
Have a sincere, honest, human moment. It's like when two kids like put on a trench coat and try to be a person, like an adult.
I thought that was going somewhere else. I'm glad that went to a cartoonish place. It's like when two kids are in a kidding. In a trench coat, and they try to be an adult to get into an R movie. Isn't that nice? It's a wholesome show. Well, I'll tell you this right now, man. So I do the rehab gig on Friday, and then I fucking do the two shows at Zany's. In the middle, and I mean, Chicago, man, Chicago, they're drinking. Listen, New York, they're drinking too, but there's something about New York, like it's so expensive.
Right.
It's such a career city.
Well, like when you go out in Manhattan, especially, it's like, people drink, but there's definitely the vibe of like people trying to get laid.
People trying to get laid.
That's the like primary, like we're drinking to go out and get laid. That's the vibe.
And I also think a lot of people go out with like their work people.
Right.
So the vibe is also like, if it's not getting laid, it's networking.
Yes.
So it's not like, let me get fucked up and throw up in a fucking garbage can. In Chicago, it's like, oh, my manager's here. We're both throwing up in a garbage can. Right. It feels like fun.
That's how you get ahead.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Fun. But so I heard the crowd coming in Saturday. I knew it was going to be an issue because they're like, well, I heard one lady go like this. Where is this Comedy Central place? I'm like, this is real bad. This is going to be. She goes like this. She goes, hey, Hey! She's yelling at her husband. He turns around. He goes, what? She goes, where is the Comedy Central place? And he's like, it's up the block. Ah! And they're like smoking cigarettes. And they're like, and I'm like, so I get up Saturday night. Now, Saturday, we go have the pizza. Me and this girl, Hannah, funny. We go to eat at Pequod's. The pizza takes 45 minutes to cook. My voice is like shot. Mm-hmm. I can't talk.
Right.
So it's a long stretch of time when I'm saying nothing to this girl. She's kind of talking and she probably thinks I'm like a piece of shit. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry, my voice. I can't really. She's like, yeah, I'm thinking of moving to New York and stuff. And with comedy, I'm like, I can't. I can't do this. I'm sorry. You know, and I almost went on my phone. I'm like, maybe we both go on our phones.
Yeah.
And then when the pizza gets here, we just eat it. And then, so the pizza gets there. And as soon as we both eat a slice, we both start feeling it immediately. Yeah. So we're sweating. We start pouring sweat.
And those knife cramps.
We get the knife cramps. We're squeezed in a booth. My gut is...
Well, you're squeezed in a booth.
Fair enough. I'm squeezed in a booth. My gut is protruding over the table to the point where I'm not taking my hand and trying to... With my fist... pushing my gut back, and she's noticing it, and in the beginning, she thinks it's funny, and then it's not funny anymore, because I'm not laughing, and then I'm like, so she goes, you want to sit somewhere else? I'm like, no, I'm fine. So then I turn sideways to kind of, like, fit in the booth, and now I'm not even facing her. So I'm just sitting sideways in this booth, on my phone, not even looking at her, and she's like, this guy's nuts. Yeah,
I don't know if the pizza made her throw up.
Well, so we get this pizza. We each eat a slice. We start sweating. I'm like, it's really hot in here. She's like, yeah. She looks at me like worried. She's probably like, this guy's going to drop dead. So I'm like, so I have another slice. Now I'm too deep. And those pies. This is a thick, deep dish pizza. It's a big fucking bowl of cheese and bread and sauce. It's bad. So we walk out of the restaurant. And I start farting. She starts farting. We get in the Uber. We're farting. We get in the fucking green room of the club, which is just farting.
Yeah.
Disgusting. She's like sitting there in the green room, and she's like, I think I have to make myself throw up before the show. And I'm like, yeah, whatever you have to do.
Pretending like that's like an...
Yeah. Like what? No, she's not a bulimic, right? Let's okay. not say that she's insinuated that she's a bulimic.
I'm sorry.
But so I go up Saturday, and I can hear the audience already. I'm like, these are animals. Already. And this is the early show. This is like 7 p.m. And every other
you
show.
You had like that wet ass, that wet anus feel? Like the dampness down
not,
there?
Not yet, but it's not even, I didn't even shit.
That's what I mean. But sometimes when you eat like that, like your ass gets like it's almost like it's getting wet. But it's like you're like sexually. But instead, it's like because you're just so like full of disgusting carbs. Well,
that's a nice thought.
I know.
What it was the worst feeling to me than that is the stomach / chest bloated, you're trying to make yourself burp, and then you're like, am I having a heart attack? That's the other thing.
Right.
What is this pain, and where is it coming from? Like, am I dying? So I walk up to the stage, and I just rip a nasty fart as I grab the microphone, and she's laughing, and I'm laughing, and I grab the microphone, and I'm doing my set, and I'm like a few minutes in, and then a woman in the crowd stands up. I can only see her slightly. And she goes, hey! I said, yeah? She goes, my best friend is baking a baby. Everybody clap. And then,
how old was this woman?
I couldn't tell you. 20s, older. 40s. No, older.
Some just trashy old whore?
Yes. And she says, my best friend is, because she corrected me, baking a baby. I said, is she making a baby? She goes, no, she's baking a baby. And then she goes, now everybody clap. And so a few people actually clapped. And I'm like, who are these people? Yeah. Like, who are these psychopaths to think this is inappropriate?
Hey, good for her. Mazel tov, you and yours.
Hey, my best. It's like, who are these people? And then you start to realize that people just don't know what stand-up comedy is. Like, they don't have a clue. And they don't know that I'm supposed... So I start insulting her. She said she's a librarian. I'm like fucking... I'm like, you're not a librarian. You know what I mean? I'm like,
what's a librarian doing Chicago?
Well, I was just like, I mean, listen, it's not an idiot city. There's people there reading books, but not all of them now that I've been there for a while. But I said to him, I'm like, yeah, you just like the library because there's wind protection. You sniff coke all day. I'm like, you're a whore. And the crowd's going nuts and back and forth. Then I just start to go into a joke and everyone's like, ah, like they're like, no, keep calling her a whore.
Keep calling her fat. Just go talk about a twat for a while.
Yeah, I paid money for this. But it's just like it becomes a battle where you're kind of doing crowd control more than comedy.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm doing this, I'm stopping to audibly fart. And the people in the front row are kind of horrified because every time I stop to fart, I make the face like it could be the end. They're like, is he having a stroke? Like, is he stroking out or is he dying?
How great would it
be? I'm stopping in the middle and I'm like, literally, like, you know how you do the shit move, but you're just farting?
Yeah.
I'd be like, shut up, you bitch. And then I would stop and then like fart and hope I didn't shit. And then I would go into another bit.
I would just love to see you up there fucking, you dumb fucking twat whore. What are you like, bro? You start grabbing your chest. Like, ah! This is the one.
The crowd's applauding.
Yeah.
This is great. I was prepared to shit myself. Yeah. I said, if I shit myself right now, this was a serious thought in my head. I said, if I shit myself,
yeah,
I'm going to keep going with the show, obviously.
What are you going to do? Tell him I shit myself and leave?
I almost said, is there a way to make this funny? Is there a way that I can turn this and be the winner? Is there a way? Because that would be legendary. Somehow, if I shit myself on stage, but then came back with like a great riff about pizza, and they were like, all right, it's gross, this is good.
That makes sense. I was thinking more like you just take your underwear off and throw it at that lady.
Well, that could, that might have worked too. But I was thinking like, I shit myself, and I'm like, but let me tell you something. And then, I don't know, I just made some joke, and everybody was like, all right, this is pretty good.
So they there's that, and then there's the Chicago School of Economics.
Yeah.
That's the city.
That's the city. That's the city! And I went to... I got to disagree with you. I know that you said it's going to take a while for the country to collapse. I want you to go to Lansing, Michigan.
Because well, those are white people, though.
What did you say?
Those are just unfettered white people.
They got some problems there. I think you might even say, okay, maybe we could expedite this a few years.
I mean, look.
It's bad out there.
The whites have not done well with what they've been given.
They've been given a lot. Haven't done great.
Talk about white privilege, and you're right, but there is no one taught them how to use it.
No, right. So let me tell you this. We go to Lansing, Michigan. My relatives, my aunt, who loves you, Aunt Donna.
Sweet woman.
Loves Ray. She's like, is
Ray performing? Where's Lucille Badaluco think of me?
I don't know if she's met you.
We have to set that up.
I'm sure she would love you. What a great name, huh? Badalucos. When you have a name like that, you got to open up a fucking bakery.
Yeah.
You got to open up a restaurant.
Or some kind of fucking
We're fetish. Going to Badalucos. Oh, man.
Great. Like, even a lingerie store. We got Badalucos lingerie and et cetera.
Et cetera. Badalucos.
We don't want to say butt plugs in the sign, but you know.
Welcome to Badalucos, a specialist of cannoli made with butter. It's literally butter. Like, we whip it up and we put it in there. Real good.
Oh, yeah. Is that the cream?
The shell is bacon, too. Badalucos.
What a lovely.
Badalucos, water's for pussies. Have a glass of cream. Would you like a glass of heavy cream, you pussy? It's Badalucos.
You drink heavy cream?
Sometimes I put it in the coffee. You know, Bobby Kelly has shamed me into now using it in the coffee. I can't put milk in my coffee.
How do you shame you into that?
Because he made a great fat point. He said Boston puts cream in their coffee and it's better, and New York puts milk in it. And he's like, you're animals, you New Yorkers. You're animals. And I just said, nah, you're kind of right. And I do now feel like cream in the coffee is better.
Well, of course it tastes better. I mean, right. No one ever disputed that like heavy cream was like not a tasty thing. It's more like you want to just shove like pure horse fat into your fucking arteries at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Even if you were being completely logical and I could do that with horse fat, the answer would still be yes. So I don't think. But no, so we go to Lansing, Michigan, and my aunt tells my distant relatives. I've never met these people. I've never met them. My grandmother was good friends with this lady, Aunt Ann. So she goes, my aunt goes, Aunt Ann's going to come with her daughter, Teresa, and somebody else. I'm going, okay. You know? We show up to the venue. The venue's a place called The Loft. It's like they have bands there, and you can tell the people walking in. I'm like,
an alt venue?
Yeah, it's an alt venue. It's a real alt venue. I was like, I forgot where I was for a second. I pointed at a young kid, and I was like, what are you, a graphic designer? I said something like that. And he's like, I work at a pork rinds factory. I'm like, oh, sorry. I just moved on. I'm like, I apologize. Sweet kid. He works with Betamate chips. He's like, we have five kinds of barbecue chips. I'm like, all right. Oh, boy. So I take the stage. The feature does great. He does good. I get on the stage. Something about me not clicking with the audience, right? Clicking with, because the audience, like older, it's Midwest. There's something that's not happening. Zany's great. These people not loving me. Now, there's one woman who's like some Uber PC woman who I was told later I didn't know. She has 8 followers on Twitter. She attacked me on Twitter. She was like, she's like, Tim Dillon thinks he's a badass. He has to shit on small towns, but that's why you're in Lansing. And I'm like, all right, well, fair point. I was like, she is a cunt, but fine. So she goes like this. So I can see in the audience this old woman, Ann, who's like 80.
Yeah.
Her daughter is like 45 and her daughter's husband.
Right.
They've never been to a comedy show. They have no idea what's going on. They've never met me. So I have a full-on breakdown at this show. Like, this lady in the crowd keeps going like this. She goes, you're mediocre. I came to see comedy. And then she just keeps giving me the finger after every joke I do. Every punchline I do, I look at her and she's just holding up her finger. Maybe she never put it down. Holding up her middle finger at me like this. So I stopped the show. I said, what do you do for a living? And she goes, I'm an English teacher. And I go, is anything more worthless than that? You're an English teacher. I was like, I know why you're an English teacher. And she goes, why, you fat fuck? I'm like, so you fuck the kids, don't you, fatty? That's what you do? You like that baby dick in your mouth? Is that what you do? You suck off an 11-year-old in the parking lot? Is that what makes you feel good? And as I'm saying that, and I'm saying this angrily, as I'm saying it, I look out in the crowd and I see my family and they're so horrified. They're genuinely disturbed. And I'm like, yeah, you fuck the kids. I'm sure you like that. You fat fuck, you fucking kids.
I've seen you have wittier responses to that.
I was having a breakdown. I was angry. But it was very funny in the
moment. You fuck them? You fuck them in the parking lot?
It was very funny in the moment. It was killing. It was doing very well.
Right.
It was doing great, you know? Not with everyone. My family was, again, horrified. And I'm like, get out of here. I'm like, you don't want to fucking see me? Go fucking go somewhere else. Go do one of the other things this town has to do. I was like, go watch possums fight. Or you'd fuck them too. You like bestiality? You fuck dogs? And then, like, my family, so they're sitting in the back of the room and they're going like, oh, this is his career. Like, this is what he does for a living. He just goes to towns and yells at people. It's bad.
I should come with you to these shows and just like go in the crowd. And when people start yelling, he's like, how about I stick a branch up your twat? Shut your mouth, whore.
But you say that to me?
Yeah.
I think it would be great to plant you in the crowd and just, can you imagine if we got like last episode, if we got like some fans from that hour and 45 minute brilliant discussion we have with the CIA agent, and they're like, I wonder what it'll be this week. Will it be economics? And they turn in, I'm like, what are you, fuck dogs, you whore? And you got to imagine, every now and then in comedy, you have a moment where you're like, fuck, this is my life.
Yeah.
And I'm bombing, and I'm yelling, and I'm screaming in Lansing, Michigan, at this lady, and she's smiling.
Did that shut her up at least?
No, she's smiling ear to ear. These people, I got to give her props.
Yeah.
She came to do this. Yeah. She might have hated me from a tweet I made in 08. Like, I mean, I haven't been doing comedy since 08, but since 2011, whatever it is. She just shows up, and she's smiling ear to ear because she knows, like, oh, she got to me. Now, so she won.
If you assaulted her.
Yeah, physically.
Would that be a problem? Like, I'm saying,
in
like,
Lansing,
for
maybe
your career.
Not. For my career, yes. But in Lansing, they might be like, well, we covered it up. They didn't look like rats. That audience didn't look like rats.
Right.
There were some old people in that audience who were literally staring at me like they had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know who wheeled them over to your show, but
yeah, that was not the move.
This reminds you.
What was the worst gig we've ever done together? We've had some bad ones.
I think it was that New Year's Eve one.
We had a bad one.
Where she was.
That's another moment where you go, what am I doing with my life?
I learned a lot.
New Year's Eve, performing at Sidewalk Cafe
yep.
in the East Village. And wait a minute, what? Who went on first? Like somebody was dancing? Or
Well, I think Kyle went on first. And then, I forget, but then.
It was
I
like was, a crazy act.
There was a there was like because it was a film opening slash music,
yeah.
And I forget.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and All I know is there was this drunk British woman who was getting on stage dancing with me.
Yes.
I didn't control the crowd properly. You taught me that lesson that day.
Well, I was just like, you can't let her get on stage. And
I thought that if I could make this a thing, like make a gimmick out of
it. Yeah, this is your thing. You got to see what he does with a drunk Brit in the crowd. They get up and dance with him. That was a bad one, but I'm trying to think of other ones that we've done.
I mean, there's Long Island shit we did.
Yeah, what is that? Do you remember any of those?
The Velvet Lounge where...
Where was that? Where was the Velvet Lounge?
That's in Setauket. That's like... that's the one where the cops pulled us over afterwards.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was like an open mic.
Yeah.
I did okay.
You did really good, actually.
Yeah, considering what it was.
And the cop, on the way back, the cops...
I thought we were going to jail that night because we got pulled over by the cops. You got, the speech impediment.
Yeah.
And what did you say? Do you remember what you said? Because it was so retarded.
It was something like, I couldn't see the lane. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. I didn't see where the lane was.
Yeah, right. I literally, when you said that, because a cop pulled you over and the cop goes, license and registration, and you answered a question he didn't even ask. Yeah. You just went like this. I didn't see the road. That's what you said.
Well, it was one of those like,
I didn't see the road. And I went, we're going to jail.
It's one of those lane merger things where the shoulder just disappears so you can't like see. So it's like, I was trying to be. I only had like a drink, maybe. I wasn't drunk, but like,
yeah.
But it was enough to kind of get those S's going.
Yeah.
And I was trying to give off that vibe. Like, look, I know what we're doing here. I'm sorry. I know. I fucked up. That kind of vibe. But it just came up. I didn't see the road. I'm sorry,
dude. I remember once we got pulled over in Long Beach, and the cops. You're telling the cop that you work at the
morgue.
Suffolk County Morgue, you got out of it.
Yeah, I know that time too. I got out of it.
I was sitting in the front seat, just eating a burrito from Taco Bell, looking at the cop. Like the cop just stared at me, like, "God, this guy's an animal," you know? Because your car was filled. Like, people don't understand how filthy.
Full of.
I mean, you pulled us over. You look like you got two serial killers. Like you look like you got the Yellow King from True Detective, and like the other Yellow King, the Yellower King. Like, and then you. Turn around to the cop, and like the cop's like, "What are you guys doing?" And you're like, "Comedy, we're coming from an open mic." And the cop's like, "What kind of shit is this?" You know, what?
What are you, two homeless fags go fuck each other on stage?
Actually, yes. It was written up in Time Out New York. It's the top 10 things you need to see.
I mean, were you at that the Keegan gig out like by whatever town was that in Nassau where the fucking were you at that one? Did you do that one with me?
I'm trying to think. You got to be more specific.
There was that one. It was like something like Valley Stream or something, and it was like some old like fisherman's bar or some shit. And,
oh like, no, but I think I heard about it.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
I mean,
all of Long Island.
All of
when you start comedy on Long Island. Every gig is how you describe the worst one.
Yeah.
Like, because it's all these ambush shows where, like, no, I don't think they want comedy.
And an ambush show is just like, for people that don't know, you just put a fucking mic stand in a crowded bar where people are trying to get hammered, and you start talking about, like, you start doing your jokes.
Like, Chuck Fox would go to, like, some literal heroin bar and fucking... Yeah. The garage and fucking Patchogue, which look literal like 60-year-old junkies at the fucking, like bikers ready to knife you. And they start yelling at you as soon as you... And look, so if I was in their shoes, I would too.
Right.
I don't want this shit. No one wants it. No one wants comedy at a Coke bar.
Right.
Or a fucking place where they're trying to pick up, trashy old whores.
We did one at Trax in Ronkonkoma. It's like a heroin bar. It's like run by the pagans. And it's fucking... We're trying to do jokes. It's like a pit bull sitting on the seat looking at me like... But every now and then you would get a laugh in a room like that. You'd be like, "Oh, that's a pretty good joke."
No, yeah, I did something. It was like,
"Oh, that's pretty good."
There was some like weird open mic.
You get guys
mic.
In the middle of a Coke deal to turn around and go, "Yeah, I know it is."
There was some weird open mic at some place in St. James, but it was a real trashy place. It was like 10 o'clock on Sundays, and one time I got a great ovation from like 6 people for like telling some guy that like his kids don't love him because he's wearing an ankle bracelet. It was on Father's Day. I really laid into him.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of... That's
what they like.
Yeah.
They want the red meat.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray's watched me have tons of breakdowns. They always do the best in Long Island. Like a breakdown will do the... And then, so that's one side of Long Island comedy is like meth bars. The other side of Long Island comedy is like, tonight at Ravioli's on Route 110 and it's... The back of an Italian restaurant where people will pay to see a comedy show, and included in the price of their ticket will be a Italian meal.
And get some fried ravioli and jokes about cunt.
I would like the chicken, the cacciatore, and you to give it to the Asians. thank you. And just the hackiest shit works. They get so excited if a comedian starts to do like a magic trick. Like I watched a guy goes, I'm also a magician. They went nuts. They're like, oh, this is going to be
where
good.
Where did it go? Oh, God. Lucille, look at this.
Look at this, Tommy. And you just such simple people. And not all of them. Some of them are surprisingly intelligent. Not a lot of them.
No.
10.
Just fucking.
And these Long Island comics, like their credits, they don't know what a credit is.
Right.
They don't know. Like, no one sat down and explained to them, like, this is a credit. This is not a credit. For example, this is not a credit. And I saw this recently. Atlantic City headliner is not a credit. So if under your name, you've written the words Atlantic City headliner, that has no meaning. That phrase has no meaning. Here's another thing that has no meaning. The word Borgata. No meaning under your name. If you have a name and then under it, East Coast headliner. I've seen that. Up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
Called into the Opie and Anthony show.
Right. Not a credit. Auditioned for Caroline's March Madness. Not a credit. These are not credits, you know? Funniest guy at the office. Sorry, Chuck. Not a credit.
Real trashy place to live.
It's a real rough.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
In your face, you got to meet people you didn't. You're like extended Dylans. I've been thinking about tracking down some comps.
Oh my God, I am so on board.
Right? Because I was happy.
Patreon.
I looked up today just as a cursory thing. Like, you know, comp genealogy, and it took a while for it to like not order correct the Kemp because. You know, Kemp is not a common thing.
Right.
And I get there, and it's all these like.
And Jack Kemp is like, what the fuck is this piece of shit doing? I'm not related to him.
We'll ride that Jack Kemp coattails. No, but all these forums are just people, like, it's these unanswered questions of, like, does anyone know where Bob Kemp came and landed in 1892? And it's just like a constant stream of people trying to track down Kemps from the 1890s, and no one answers each other. It's all these, like cries in the wind. So I want to reach out to these people and like, I don't know, like inform them of our comp line, you know, or Wehrmacht, you know, war criminal comp line that we have going on. You know,
listen to me. My grandfather was a Nazi. He drove a boar's head truck and he drove a truck in Germany. I don't know what was in it. I don't even really want to speculate. Probably paper.
I worked in a morgue. These are fun things. You can
tell. These are fun things. I just love the flood of restraining orders that will meet this.
I should look up some comps.
Where do other comps live?
A lot of them are in New York, I think. But I didn't pay for the site yet. I didn't get the real, like, you know, family tree.
Do you have cousins?
That's the thing about my family. It's like, if you look at, like, my great-grandpa had, I don't know what he had, but like my grandparents had, like, 3 kids. And only, besides me, my brother and I, there's only 2 other kids in, like, the immediate, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no spread. There's no spread to my, I mean, it might be, but I don't know any of them.
Right.
And that's the thing. We're a very limited nuclear family, and like extended-wise. I mean, so I have to track these people down.
So you've got a hunger for family.
I just want to see if I'm better than them. I want to see where they're better than me. I want to see what our limits are.
I mean, if they are doing worse than you and me. I mean, what is that, jail?
I really want to see if like there's doctors and lawyers and fucking, you know, like war heroes in the mix, and I can, yeah, you know, inspire me.
Yeah, they're like he was a war hero for the Confederacy. You're like, oh, like,
know how you feel?
They're scratching your head. You're like, gee. What do you think, by the way, about that new HBO show, Confederates? Which somebody had a brilliant idea in HBO. Did you hear about this?
What?
Do you hear about any of this?
Okay, I heard about the show, yeah.
They go.
Terry Turtle Dove, right?
It's,
I mean, it's the idea, I mean. It's like, it's just like, you know, what happened
there? Is it like The Night in the High Castle? Isn't that what it is?
That's the idea of it, I think.
Right, that's the idea. Is like, kind of tone deaf, kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's not the best. I mean,
probably like,
and hey, it's also like stupid.
And so the idea of the show Confederate is like, what if slavery were happening now? What if the South won the Civil War? That's the premise of the show.
I love how, like, these supposedly clever, like, oh, authors, like, it's always like, what would happen if, like, everything was the same, but we had slavery still? Like, well, no, yeah. That's not how, yeah. like, history works. You don't just, like, stop one thing. It's like this whole parallel dimension shit where, like, everything's the same, but your dad's, you know, Tom Selleck.
Right.
No, it's, like, it's I mean, it's not just, when I say stupid, it's not stupid, like, of them to do it. It is, but my point is also, like, it wouldn't have kept going this long. You could argue, like, what if the Civil War didn't happen? What if they won? It would have eventually gotten stamped out.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, and I'm not listening. You know,
it's lazy.
It's kind of lazy, and you know, the far left is also insane, and it's like, you know, people's reactions to things also, I think, are wildly disproportionate to what the things are. People are like, give up Game of Thrones until they stop Confederate.
Fuck you.
It's like, fuck you, dude. Like, number one,
I don't care if HBO buys slaves.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Game of Thrones is great.
It's phenomenal show.
And here's the other thing. It's just kind of like, you know, you can have a disagreement about something without having this scorched earth policy. There's this new thing now where it's all like scorched earth, like bring it down, burn it. You know, here's the thing.
Because the show, it may be tone deaf, but I'm sure the show is not like, look how much better it would be if we had slaves. That can't be the premise of it.
No. Fox News is suing HBO. They're like, if that's your premise, you are in trouble because we have that show. That's our show.
It's called Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity's like, they find out he's the head writer of Confederate. They're like, they have brilliant people writing Confederate. Who? Richard Spencer. And whatever, man. I had breakfast with HBO. Did nothing for me. Nothing for me.
Did you give you any spoilers about Game of Thrones?
Who?
Did you ask him about, like
No, this was last year, and I still didn't, you know. I'd watched, you know. I don't think they know. I think they keep that stuff very close to the
It'd be kind of funny if you just went in there and started geeking out about, you know.
Yeah.
Even old shows. Like, hey, I love the Larry Sanders Show. What do you think happened to Hank after the show ended?
That's the whole meeting?
Yeah.
I'm like, so come back. I know that you did it. So what do you think Valerie Cherish would be doing now? She's a hilarious character. It would be hilarious to see, like, what she'd be doing now. You think she'd be tweeting about Trump? What do you think she'd be doing?
By the way, I have a show where I eat shrimp. You want to do it?
I'm on a tour bus and I eat shrimp. That's it. You want to do it now? Give me money. Please.
That baller show, I mean, who wrote that? I'm sure it's like...
Who knows?
They make phenomenal stuff, but they also make stuff that's just like... polished and good, but also just like it's very formulaic. Like, you know, it's always
formulaic.
I'm sorry,
formulaic.
Thanks, Dad.
Formulaic. Listen to me. Hey, HBO, here's my biggest issue with what you're doing. The things you make are too flattering. They're too flattering.
I really shouldn't stretch. I want to work for them one day.
Yeah,
in a
back room. Do they have a dungeon?
I've worked on things that are in HBO now.
Do they have an underground? They have an underground.
I shouldn't trash HBO. It's a conflict.
I think it would be great for you to work at HBO in like a subterranean tunnel, like under the Denver Airport.
I worked on things that have been on there already.
Oh, great!
So I'm just saying, it's a conflict of interest. I am a man of character.
It's very different
now than
letting you walk in the HBO building on Sixth Avenue, you know,
in
front of people.
They wanted to send me there one night.
Oh my God!
Like, to bring something, I'm like, really? Like,
yeah, they probably wanted to strap a bomb to you and send you in.
I had to work like an overnight.
Hey, wear this vest. Just walk into HBO and wear the vest.
I had to work a midnight shift, and they start telling me, like, we might have to have you bring a DVD to, I forget the guy's name. You know who that guy is? I'm like, no. And he's like, that's the head guy at HBO. You have to put it in his hands. I'm like, you don't want me putting anything in this guy's hands.
Yeah, it's just it's got peanut butter on it.
I stopped him from waffle.
Yeah, a cab driver's chasing you, and you're not pay. You're not pay.
You have any money on you, please? You have a couple of bucks? I'm light. Let me hold a couple of bucks, please. By the way, Vice told me to give you this thing. I don't know what it is, but...
I tried to sell it.
Nobody bought it. I did buy this. I bid it once. Sorry.
Long Island comedy, baby. I have not been asked to do a show out there in a long time. Kind of insulting.
Well, I mean...
Kind of insulting.
I think for a while there,
I'm like
you
the
were
hometown
saying
hero.
Yes,
Listen, I'm not doing that great, but I'm doing real good enough. Like, you should be asking me to headline, like, Abundanzas. Like, I should be getting those. I would definitely be refusing them.
I think for a while there, and it's only Long Island, I'm not trying to spread rumors, but only Long Island shows, you would, like, say yes, and then, like, you'd call them, like, 10 minutes before your set starts.
Yeah, I'd be like,
I can't make it.
Yeah, I would call them up, I'd go like this, I go, hey, yeah. That would be my first line. I'd go, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't do it. And people get angry with me.
I mean, just the fact you have to ride the Long Island Railroad.
The worst.
On a fucking weekend night.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you can be, it's always garbage, but like on a weekend night, the trash. That just fucking, it's, we were riding home from Island Park. I don't like spend too long on Long Island, but just the sewage smell.
Yeah.
That just collects. It's just.
I got to speak to a real estate attorney about debts and things I owe. Because I want to start going legit. I might want to get a car. I don't know if I want to get a car, but I gotta speak to a real estate attorney.
What kind of car would you get?
I mean, I don't know. Something good on gas. You could just small. You can't have a big car in the city.
You can get Prius?
No, I wouldn't get that. But, I mean, my favorite car I've ever had was a Chevy Suburban, 1999. I called it the executive vehicle. It was like the one from Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, you know, the one that the feds just come rolling through Columbia, Harrison Ford jumping out of it.
I just picture Hillary Clinton smashing some Arab guy's face out of a Suburban.
Put his head between his legs and just killing him with a twat.
I'm going to be the president, bitch.
What's she up to? She's got to be a weird...
I hear
dinner.
She's doing horse. She's fucking.
That'd be a weird
she's
dinner.
She's snorting heroin.
Just her and Clinton in that house in Chappaqua eating.
You know she's not eating with him.
No, she's definitely not eating
you think
with
she,
him.
Do you think at that point in life, you start doing, like, do you think she ever fucked with, like, hard drugs?
No way. Because you're thinking about legacy. God forbid you
what
die.
What legacy does she have?
She came the closest to being the president of the United States as a female. That I mean that you can't take that away from her. And she was a Secretary of State. She was a senator. I mean, I don't think you can really take away certain things that she's done.
How great would it be if she just had a complete
breakdown?
I mean,
her and her husband did lock up a lot of innocent drug fucking users.
Yeah.
I mean, not innocent, but like, you know, nonviolent. Drug users.
And how great would it be if Hillary just started fucking some like 19-year-old black kid, just fucking
great.
Just walking around like arm candy with him, just fucking going to clubs, just doing coke
like
with
a
him.
Rapper.
Yeah, just like doing coke in the back room in the fucking champagne room.
I think she probably sits home. She probably drinks sherry. She probably, you know, she's probably somebody like her. I think has got to be thinking like maybe Chelsea is the next thing.
Does she have a shot? Trump is all sorts of fuck here, it seems like. Yeah. That being said, and I'll say it again.
John Brennan called for a coup if he fired Mueller. John Brennan.
How do you phrase it?
He said, I'll tell you exactly, but he said basically something like, I hope the government would not obey his orders, and I hope people would know that this is beyond politics. Which
That's
a lot
not a coup, though.
Well, people not obeying the president of the United States is kind of a coup.
Well, you know, if the president is acting extra constitutionally,
that's
a gray area.
That's Brennan's contention.
That's the thing.
That's what Brennan was saying.
There is no mechanism for a lot of these things. Like, there's no mechanism. Like the founders didn't really plan for the president trying to pardon himself for the crimes they're investigating him for.
So, this is a shakeup. You wanted a shakeup? You got a shakeup. You know, he's
the country needs some new blood.
He's thinking about his family. Pardoning his family.
Oh, his family, his associates. He's going to fucking Sean Spicer.
I mean, crazy stuff. Like, I was one of those dudes that was like, because people said to me, people were like, oh, if a guy like this would get impeached, or if a guy like this, like, if he felt cornered, what would he do? I was always like, I don't know. Now I don't know. I'm like, I don't really know what he'll do.
I feel like he's going to do a false flag at some point soon.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to, like, I don't know, blow up the Mall of America or some shit.
It's the worst false flag. It's the clumsiest false flag. You blow up the food court at the Mall of America.
We got to get organized.
We don't know what's going on here. We can't let people in our malls. Did you see the roller coaster blow up? Trump's like not even upset. He's not even upset.
Because he comes down to like the fucking mall. We're going to find out who they are. We're going to fucking exonerate my Jared Kushner for any wrongdoing. We're going to get through this.
Oh, I believe in this country. I believe my daughter and son-in-law are innocent. I believe he's not even upset. He just points to the kids flying off the roller coaster in flames. He's like, you see that? Do you see that? Yes? Good. Now about Russia. What about Russia? be like, sir, that was the two men in Make America Great Again hats were seen running into the food court.
Those men are patriots. Don't worry about them. All right. What we need to focus on is how much of a whore Hillary Clinton is. Real filthy bitch. Dude, lying and cheating everywhere. You know she's sir cunt smells bad.
He has still, he's like, he went on this whole thing recently about why aren't they investigating her? It's like, she's not the president.
Why are they looking into Comey's illegal act? I don't know.
Why are they looking into what Gerald Ford did?
But like, Chomsky came out like this week.
Chomsky's arguing with little Alex on our, that we've had on the podcast, the kid that you hate. Alex emails him, and supposedly Chomsky responds to everyone's emails, not mine, to come on the show.
Yeah.
But like him and Alex are going back and forth on Israel. Alex just asked him a question about Israel, and Chomsky responded, and like, Alex was like, okay, but can you clarify these things? And Chomsky's like, has been very nice and is like explaining to him things.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like, can you be a nudge, more of a nudge?
What?
Some 19-year-old Jewish kid. Hey, I'm going to fucking like.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
You know he's like that
you
kid.
You know Chomsky hates Jews.
You know about Alex.
You
right.
know. You know. When you read Chomsky, it's literally like, it's really like. The guy just hates Jews.
Well, I mean, I read a lot of Chomsky, and he like he
the guy's like anti-Semitism is not a problem at all. It's like okay, fine, structurally not, but like you're not going to tell me it's not a problem when you have Arab states that control billions of dollars worth of oil wealth, saying incredibly insensitive things, recycling Nazi propaganda. There is shit out there.
Oh no, look, there's shit out there. You know, some of it's a chicken and egg thing.
Now put me in a movie. Did you hear what I said? Now put me in a film. Thank you. Continue.
I'm just saying, you know, there's been a lot of vetoes at the U.S. government.
I know. Listen. We get it. We did the whole Israel thing. I don't want to go to it. I just think it's nice. I think it's fun that Chomsky responds to everyone. My friend said he responds to everyone.
All right.
What were you saying? He said what this week?
Oh, he was basically making the point that, Trump, we all know Trump is what he is, but that he's really a smokescreen, maybe probably inadvertently. For the Republicans, like the whole Paul Ryan movement of Republicans, to do some real awful shit, kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, just the whole cabinet has been constructed as nothing. You know, every member of the cabinet is there to destroy their department.
Right.
Dismantle what they're in charge
Talking
of.
Talking about a revolution. Yeah. I mean... What happened to the health care? Did that pass today? I know that John McCain got out of bed, and he ran into the Senate, and he's like, I'm going to come in here.
Was he weeping out of his brain?
I don't know what he was doing, but I just think it's funny. I don't know. What happened, Shannon?
It says Senate advances health care bill.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Ooh. Not good.
Get your Adderall now.
Get your Adderall now. I think it's going to die. Where does it go after this? The House? Or died in the House?
I mean, if they start something in the House, this is a different thing, right?
No, I don't know.
You can introduce stuff in the Senate that has to go to the House.
Yeah, it's going to die in the House. Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, before... Yeah, who knows?
John Boehner's like, you don't have a shot at doing it. But who knows?
I don't know what the deal is. Well, I'm pretty ignorant on this
Tonight,
new version
Senate
of
Republicans
bill.
Have pulled off what even a week ago seemed...
No, do that. Do that. You were doing the right thing. Don't doubt yourself.
Deemed impossible.
On this vote, the yeas are 50 and the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative.
Securing enough GOP votes to bring a bill to the floor and begin debate on dismantling Obamacare.
Oh, okay. So
we can't let this moment slip by. We've wrestled with this issue. We've watched the consequences of the status quo. The people who sent us here expect us to begin this debate.
All right, shut that off. People who sent you there don't know what the hell you're going to do. Yeah. Like, they have no idea.
But this,
nobody sent you there for this.
This is not even... The Senate didn't pass it. The Senate agreed to vote on it.
Right, okay.
Which is, you know, there's a lot of parliamentary Frank Underwood shit that has to happen.
Claire. <Yeah. laughs>
Find out who the negative whip is on the legislative adjunct. Also kill that girl from the
Claire. I love how you said, like, every season it gets increasingly ruthless, and that you said, like, the next season, like, he'll just be like, it opens, and he's, like, above his wife's body, eating her heart, like, her chest cavity's open, he's just dripping blood, and he's like, the real power's in the heart. It's not the executive, it's the heart. And Claire didn't understand that. We got a saying back in Gaffney.
You know, most of their sayings involve words that, you know, The N-word. It's more,
like, yeah, you're right.
Conveniently, the N-word is left out of all those Gaffney.
all those quaint Southern sayings. Yeah. We got to say him back in Gaffney. It's easier to bleep a bleep than to bleep a bleep right to his bleep face. You know what I mean? Those would be like the accurate ones, yeah. You know? We got to say him back in Gaffney. You know what I mean?
Don't ever let your daughter bleep a bleep.
We got a saying back in Gaffney that, you know, a bleep's mouth is looser than a pussy of a whore. Then you always show him, like, walking through the Capitol. It's so funny. There's a little kid growing up somewhere that looks at Frank Underwood, and they're like, that's what I want to be.
Yeah.
That's the guy that I want to be.
Look, how many, like, I think they did it in that movie Boiler Room, but, like, you know, that whole, like, kids love Gordon Gekko. Like, Wall Street guys love Gordon Gekko.
Right.
They aspire to him.
Yes.
The guy is made to be, like, the worst villain of that type. You could.
Yeah.
Like, he's the archetype of, like, the evils of Wall Street. Like, I want to be that guy. Yeah. Look at the way his collar is a different color than his shirt.
Yeah, Claire. And they made him bisexual. They made him,
Gordon Gekko?
No.
Oh, Underwood. Yeah.
Or maybe even gay. I don't know. He's fucking Zoe.
I feel like... Yeah. No, yeah. I feel like he's definitely...
Bi.
He's bi, but, like, you know, if that thing when in college went the other way, he could have just been gay. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah.
Like, that was the love of his life, was the gay guy.
Right. Not Claire.
No. That's what I'm saying. They fuck, but you get the feeling she's, you know, they're not getting wet. His ass isn't...
I don't know if they fuck. I actually don't know.
I mean, they fuck when the cock's in the bed with them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if his fucking pecker. I mean, they don't have kids. Maybe his pecker doesn't go in there. And that fucking dry cunt of fucking, what's her name? Although she does fuck the photojournalist.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but.
It's not a spoiler. It's like great, season one.
It's a great. Well, there's people that haven't gotten into it. There's people that haven't had the time.
Right. Yes, so I'm going to track down these comps.
Down the comps. We want to know more about that. I'll tell you right now. That interview with John Kiriakou, CIA agent, great.
It was. We need to do more like that.
We need to do more like that.
We're going to set up a slate of...
it's tough to find these people.
Who'll be willing to talk to us, yeah.
They're not always out there.
Yeah.
But we are going to try to get some people in here. I really thought it was interesting. Listen, I love having journalists on. I love writers. I really like a guy that was kind of inside there.
Yeah. We need raw source material. We don't need journalists fucking getting away.
We don't need a
with their
third
fucking research.
Party.
I'd spend years meticulously researching.
Yeah,
fuck off.
Fuck you.
Just ask you what happened.
We want to get snowed by the people directly. We were talking about it, though. You know, the guy seems so earnest and stuff, but it's like he deals in deception. Like, his job is to lie.
Yeah.
It's literally what he's trained to do.
His job is to, like, convince you to, like, go in that building. You're worried to take these things and give them to me. It's fine.
But I do think there's something with that Saudi angle. Because they all get quiet. Yeah. He got quiet, and then he's like, I don't know. He's like, I think that's the crux of it.
Quiet for a second, and then he goes, oh, yeah, and two princes died.
I know, but he was thinking about what could he throw out. Like, what tidbit can I give him that won't put me in jail and that I won't, you know? And of course, I'm sure there's things he doesn't even know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean... I personally think that the elements of the U.S. government were complicit.
Yeah.
The intelligence apparatus were complicit. And the Saudis have a long history of being our allies directly in these covert intelligence factors.
When we're talking about elements of the government being complicit.
Yeah.
Are we talking Bush, Cheney?
You're probably...
God's got to be, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be that...
Cheney, at least. I think Bush is involved, too. I think you're dealing with, in the organization, probably 15
people. Raycom's views are not my views. Put me in a movie. Keep going.
I think you're dealing with 15 people. The State of Israel's involved. They're doing everything. They're basically controlling the whole situation.
Now, solid 15 people.
No, I don't know. It is, when you start to visualize it, it starts to get a little wonky.
It does start to feel wonky.
But then again, like, how many people knew about the Gulf of Tonkin being fake?
Yeah.
How many people knew about the coup in Iran? Like, that's the thing. Like,
I think, here's what I would say. And I don't know anything. And my friend brought up a good point. He goes, we're all going to go to our death not knowing. We're just never going to know.
Right.
The fact that there was a cover-up, the fact that we flew these Saudis out of the country, the fact that we redacted those 28 pages for a long time, the fact that... You know, the Saudi intelligence minister resigned, I think, a few days before or after 9/11. I forget, Prince Turkey. There's something. The fact that Prince Bandar's on the bush, on the steps, I mean, on the balcony of the White House, smoking a cigar, like the closeness between us and them is.
I mean, you wonder almost, is it possible? People go, oh, like they let it happen. But
there is
not just
a
like they let it
cover up.
Like if they like went out of their way to be like, yeah, fuck with the passport thing, like remove them from these lists and take them here, and we're like, then shut these cameras off, like shit like that, where it's not that crazy, where like a few, relatively few guys could do it, and like really massage these kind of yahoos through the process of blowing up these. You know what I mean? Like really got them. You know, like, because there were so many flags. And, yeah, like, you know, they all hated each other, so they didn't share information. Like, yeah, that's one version of the story.
Here's what I would say. I would say that I'm less persuaded by... I do give credence to the everybody hated each other argument, because I know how organizations work. And I also know that, like, you know, actionable intelligence is different than, like, what would they have done if it was like, okay, these terrorists are in the country. I get, yeah, you know... You could put a surveillance team on them. You could, you know, and that's one of the questions I think people had. They were, because they didn't have a surveillance team on them, I think. And they were like, why don't they? And
yeah.
You know, who's doing this? Are they allowing the Saudis to surveil them? Are you like, you know, but so the CIA didn't put any team on them, a surveillance team from that we understand. But I mean, on who, what, why, they had a great article about, you know, prominent Saudis living in a complex in Florida, and they kind of left the day of 9/11. I think it was more people that knew this was going to happen than just the 19 people on those planes.
Right.
Now, how do you reconcile that with, you know, everything? I don't know. I don't know if you can make the jump and go, there's outright complicity, but I don't know. I mean, you get into that deep world of double and triple agents.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And people not asking questions. And here's the other thing with President Bush is like, how easy is it to just kind of like keep that guy on the, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I don't know if that guy's like asking questions, and like they were all focused and fixated on Iraq. They were fixated on Russia, China. They thought they were like big picture Cold War.
But that's kind of the whole, that speaks to it too. It's like, yeah, we're focused on Iraq for no reason.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden there's
So there's this guy named Paul, I forget his name. I was trying to get him on the show. He did the 9/11 timeline on History Commons, which is a very respected and somewhat reputable source. I think he actually testified in Congress, and he was like, I think it was potentially the counterterrorism advisor, Richard Clark, or somebody, in an interview kind of let it slip out that like the Bush administration at one point was, I think pre-9/11, was thinking about ways to justify an Iraq invasion.
They had Iraq war plans on the desk like September 10th.
So one of the ways was like flying a plane over Iraq and like making sure it got shot down.
Seems like something. Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
As far as like that, but it might not be big enough. That's probably what happened. Yeah, that would fly, but we couldn't do a whole 10-year invasion.
Well, so Paul. I mean, what's his name? There were two guys that did this 9/11 research. There was a guy named Kevin Fenton, an English guy, British guy. I mean, these guys are the ones that aren't kooks. Then there's 20 million kooks.
Right.
Kevin Fenton's a British guy, and then there was this other guy, and I forget his name. Just did Google 9/11 history, History Commons timeline, 9/11 timeline. I think it was Paul
F. Tompkins.
Paul Tompkins. 9/11? Is it really?
Paul Thompson.
Paul Thompson was this guy that did the 9/11 timeline. And he again doesn't like the term 9/11 truth, because I don't think he's alleged outright complicity. He has said that these people are so ignorant that they should be in jail for criminal negligence,
right,
if it isn't complicit, but that he has looked at the timeline, and he has looked at these issues about intelligence sharing and gathering, and thinks there's more to the story. But I do think Kiriakou is somewhat persuasive on the idea that, like, you know, you're not sharing databases. These people hate each other. You know, the CIA is probably like, we'll turn these two guys as double agents, which obviously they're not going to admit to us after the fact, that that's embarrassing.
Right.
You know, could be like the Boston bombing thing, where you're trying to work with people, they do something, you know. But
I really think it's more likely it was the Jews. Why do you keep trying to move the way? I know you got a career to worry about.
So here's the thing. Mossad, you know, that lady's husband, the CIA, will tell you, he'll talk all about that.
I mean, look, I am joking, first of all. I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of, like, people want to say Mossad was complicit. I don't see a lot of motive in that.
Supposedly they were, they were taking photos or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of conspiracies that are all over the place, but I will say that if you want to talk about Israel, you want to talk about, I mean, her husband, this lady whose name we will not say, her husband is an ex-CIA guy, worked at Alex Station, and is very vocal about Israel's, you know, influence on America's foreign policy.
Yeah.
It's to a point where it's kind of like, all right, buddy, we got it. We got it, you know? Love to get him on, send him a message. I don't know if he'll come on. You know, all I can do is kind of work through
it's
channels,
also like,
email people.
They're able to lobby us to keep them safe. But it's also like they're kind of a construction of our foreign policy. Like, it's kind of like when you, like, oh, like it's like when you defend your little brother and then people accuse you, like your little brother of lobbying you.
I don't find that guy's arguments incredibly persuasive.
Right.
But I still think I'd have him on the show to make them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Let's talk about what's going on in the month of August. And I'll tell you what's going on.
Oktoberfest.
Restaurant week in New York City. That's when they have, like, they'll give you three courses for $42
for dinner. That seems
nice. Yeah, it is nice until you read the menu.
No.
They go, for the first course, we have bread soaked in water. we have a filet mignon, which is a $45 supplement to the menu. We have a half of a quarter chicken and wasabi peas. And for dessert, we have coffee grinds. That's the restaurant week menu. And then then you go, I'm here and I want to eat. So you go, I guess I'll just, can I see the regular menu? And they're like, the regular menu, we have pussy and marshmallow. And you're like, all right, I'll do that. But I am coming to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut and the 17th through the 19th in Connecticut. I will be at Dead Crow Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina on the 25th and 26th. My dates will be up for this month at timdillacomedy.com. A lot of dates around New York City, around town. I'm coming to Tennessee August, early 3rd. That's like a private thing. It might not be. I don't know. It's like with the church. It's going to not be great. Maybe it will be. And then, you know, in September, I think mid-September, I'm going down to D.C. to the D.C. Improv Lounge, which is great. I do a tour bus show, which is a lot of fun. It's on a double-decker tour bus. We do it in New York City. We are bringing it to Los Angeles. If you listen in California and you're within a drivable distance from L.A. and you want to get a crazy, insane tour of L.A. on a double-decker tour bus, obviously sitting on the top. We only sell out the top. We don't have the fucking bottom. That's for my manager and agent to sit there and try to kill themselves when I start screaming about fucking Charles Manson. But you could come and so if you want to know when we're doing them in New York or when we're going to do one in L.A., go to timdillacomedy.com, sign up to get on the email list. We will send you an email when tickets become available before they go on available to the general public, and you will have the chance to obviously go and buy tickets to the New York show or to the show which we're going to do in L.A. We're going to have a lot of fun in Los Angeles. I think that's going to be fucking awesome. Ray.
I will be at Artichoke. That's I think
eating in a booth.
I think it's Bushwick. I'm not sure.
It is. It's actually a good show.
Okay.
Downstairs, I did it, but the problem is upstairs, there's a DJ who sets up like on a piano booth, and he just blasts music that, by the way, nobody asked for. Like, nobody's trying to eat a grandma pie while they're blasted with music. But yeah, it's not a bad show. When are you going to be there?
I'll be there July 27th, this Thursday at 10 p.m. So come out. You know, say hello. Tim won't be there. No, but like, you know,
maybe I will be there.
Are you gonna come?
I might stop in.
All right. Well, you know, it's a big event. Come meet. You know, get some merch. I don't know. I don't even promote things. Guinea pig is the point. Keep your eyes peeled for guinea pig. It's coming soon. Website coming soon. It's gonna be completely interactive. A multimedia experience. I don't know quite how to explain it. It's like nothing you've ever heard before or seen before. It's coming at some point in the near future. We're locking down talent as we speak. This is the ground floor. You're going to get there.
A lot of people are involved.
Yeah. This is a lot of ins and outs. A lot of ins and outs. Moving.
Listen, and if you have not yet done it, go listen to last week's episode with John Kiriakou, the CIA guy.
It's amazing. One of the best things I've ever been a part of.
It's really good. And then go on iTunes, rate us, review us. Tell iTunes how great we are.
Yeah.
You know, give us five stars.
We need to gauge your level of...
Right, you got to give it to us. And yeah. And now also, if you want to subscribe to Gas Digital, promo code HELL, you can watch every episode when they come out. You can watch it if you're an audio, a visual person, if you're if a lot of people are.
If you want to jerk off to our show.
Do whatever you want. If you're a visual person, some people are not auditory learners. They want to learn visually. And then come and let me and Ray know. We're still working out where to do a live podcast.
Do you think people like ever like watch porn while listening to us and they jerk off?
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope.
I think I might have done it before by accident.
But I will. I'll tell you this. Follow us, Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is Tim Dillon, T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N, timdillancomedy.com for dates and to sign up for an email list for the Tour Bus Show. Where can they get you on social media?
At Ray Kump on Twitter. At Ray Kump on Instagram. Raymond G. Kump on Facebook, probably. Something like Ray Kump on Facebook.
Somebody sent me a photo of like a fight you were in on Facebook where you were like, you said something, I forget what you were in, like an argument. Maybe you weren't in an argument. You were just saying something. Hold on, let me find who sent it to me. Because
I usually stay above the fray on Facebook. I don't really respect the opinions of many people. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Listen, social media is just disgusting.
Yeah.
But please follow us.
I am curious to, you know, what you found.
I'm trying to think. I got to find...
Was it an Egyptian thing? I used to go off on the Egyptian state for a while. But I've curtailed that. I'm kidding.
Ray Kump, quote, John Wayne Gacy was far braver than any of us. Try getting a good night's sleep with a bunch of dead kids buried in your crawl space. Nerves of steel.
I wrote that?
Somebody writes, that explains why you went the Jeffrey Dahmer route. Bet you can't eat just one. Ray Kump goes, is that a fat joke? Somebody goes, no, that's you. It's like, who are these people and what are you speaking of? You know?
That was a good, that wasn't a bad line. I'm surprised I wrote that.
It was a good line. Somebody sent it to me because it was funny. Guys, thanks so much. Please keep listening and let's build a brighter future.
We got it.
All right.